Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Navalabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanacha Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Navalabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Dana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Dana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhijakacharya Astotra Satya Shishi Mad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhijakacharya Astotra Satya Shishi Mad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON BBD Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Seko Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Yamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauri Pachayane Nirvishesha Shanivari Pastadai Deshatarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, The Status Quo, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, and today we're doing text 32. Barhishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam barhishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam barhishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam. All chant. Bahishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam barhishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam barhishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat yam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam barhishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam. Word for word translation. Barhishmatim, the city of Barhishmati. Nama, named. Vibhu, the very powerful Swayambhuva Manu. Yam, which? Nirvishya, having entered. Samavasat, he lived in previously. Tasyam, in that city. Pravishta, entered. Bhavanam, the palace. Tapatraya, the threefold miseries. Vinashanam, destroying. Translation. Having entered the city of Barhishmati, in which he had previously lived, Manu entered his palace, which was filled with an atmosphere that eradicated the three miseries of material existence. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The material world, or material existential life, is filled with threefold miseries: miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries pertaining to natural disturbances, and miseries inflicted by other living entities. Human society is meant to create a spiritual atmosphere by spreading the spirit of Krishna consciousness. The miseries of material existence cannot affect the status of Krishna consciousness. It is not that the miseries of the material world completely vanish when one takes to Krishna consciousness, but for one who is Krishna conscious, the miseries of material existence have no effect. We cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere, but Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method to protect us from being affected by the miseries of material existence. For a Krishna conscious person, both living in heaven and living in hell are equal. How Swayambhuva Manu created an atmosphere wherein he was not affected by material miseries is explained in the following verses. Bahishmatim nama vibhur yam nirvishya samavasat tasyam pravishto bhavanam tapatraya vinashanam. Having entered the city of Bahishmati, in which he had previously lived, Manu entered his palace, which was filled with an atmosphere that eradicated the three miseries of material existence. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschita Deshatarine. So we heard in yesterday's class how Barhishmati is named after Barhis, this sacred kusha grass, which was, we also learned, was flung from the body of Lord Varaha after he came out of the ocean with the earth planet, that he shook his body and some hairs came out and those grew as kusha grass. So kusha grass is essential in yajna, in Vedic yajna. Lord Varaha himself is known by the name yajna and is often described as a personification or representation of the process of yajna. So naturally, Swayambhuva Manu was happy to make his capital there, and the central point of it was yajna. Yajyartat karmanonyacha, lokoyam karma bandana. Karma Konteya Mukta Sangha Samachara. Thank you. So when sacrifice is done, then one is freed from the bondage of work, the bondage of karma, karma bandana. And this is, in very brief, why his palace, his kingdom, had such an atmosphere that the threefold miseries could not attack, because the atmosphere was saturated with devotional service, with sacrifice to Vishnu, with devotion to the Lord. Therefore, these words, especially tapatraya vinashanam, are so nice and so interesting, that the threefold miseries, vinashanam, were destroyed. And Prabhupada gives a little more explanation in the purport, saying that the threefold miseries themselves do not or may not actually completely disappear, but their effect upon the devotee is nullified. So this is the important point. It's also said of the Sudharma assembly house, also had this wonderful atmosphere, that ordinary mortality. And I think there it's described as the six waves of material suffering, like hunger, thirst, and fatigue, and bewilderment, and I don't remember all of them. None of those could have any effect for those in the Sudharma assembly house, because it's suffused with that same spiritual atmosphere. So we should be interested, everyone should be interested in this tapa traya vinashanam, because this is the feature of this material world suffering. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, ladini sandini samvit twayeka sarva samshraya, that Krishna has under his control the spiritual energies of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. But the conditioned souls, la de tapakari mishra, Twai no guna vardita, that Krishna is transcendental to material qualities, but the living entities are subject to lada tapakari mishra, this mixture of pleasure and suffering, so-called pleasure and so-called suffering. They're subject to this. Actually, pleasure and suffering, we see them as distinct, that pleasure is over here and suffering is over here, but they're actually just two sides of the same coin. That when you try to enjoy, when you come to this material world to enjoy, then the suffering is automatically there. Prabhupada would sometimes say, Krishna has certified the suffering nature of this material world. Mamu petya punar janma dukalayama shashvatam. That this world is dukalayam, a place of suffering and a place of temporality. So he also said, there's no use arguing about whether a man can be happy in this world. It's not possible. One time, it's a nice Prabhupada incident, he was having a mock argument with one of his disciples, as he would sometimes do with Chaivan. And Prabhupada was explaining how this material world is dukalayam ashashvatam. It's just like a prison. So in a prison, who would think that the prison is a happy place? And Chaivan, taking the part of the materialist, was saying, well, you know, everyone thinks they're happy and they're chasing after happiness. And Prabhupada said, is this sensible that you're calling the prison a place of happiness? And Chaivan said, well, so many people say the travel agents and the advertisements and the politicians are all saying to be happy here, you could be happy here. Everyone says, Chaivan said, everyone says that you can be happy here. And Prabhupada said, everyone? Not everyone. I don't say. So Chaivan said, yes, well, you're the only one. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is because I am the only intelligent man. So we have to understand this. This is the situation of the material world. But at the same time, when we start gaining some spiritual knowledge, we learn anandamayo byasat, that our actual nature is happiness. Just like in that Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, it mentions Krishna's energies of ladini, samvit, sandini, that these energies are there, and the living entities as part and parcel of Krishna are equally heirs to that blissful nature. But because we have that blissful nature, anandamaya means suffused with bliss or made of bliss or completely saturated with bliss, that's our nature. So because we're in this material world with the opposite nature, this duality, this conflict, this struggle between our actual nature and our false aspirations and nature in this material world, this is the source of all of our material existence, this conflict going on, that we've forgotten our actual happiness and we try to seek happiness in this material world. And because of that, because that's not the nature of this world, it causes conflict, it causes frustration. So the intelligent person, this is the first question. Just like on Saturday, now we're hearing the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatana Goswami. But when Sanatana first approached Mahaprabhu, his first words were, Kayami, who am I? Kene amaya jare tapachoy, these same words, tapachoy. Who am I? Kayami, who am I? What is my nature? The nature, of course, being anandamaya byasat. And kayamaya jare tapachoy, why am I suffering these threefold miseries? And Prabhupada said, if you don't ask those questions, beginning with those questions, you can't understand anything. So we want this. We want this tapachaya vinashanam. We're intelligent enough that we've asked that question. And in the solution to that question, we've come to this Krishna consciousness movement. So like Prabhupada also said in the purport, these can't actually be completely, they can't be made to disappear in this material world. But there are certain counteracting things we could do. So let's start with the very most basic. Prabhupada was concerned about devotees keeping their health. There's the adiatmic, adibodhic, adidaivic klesh, different sufferings. They're also classified as Janmamrityu Jara Vyadi. So Prabhupada was concerned about the devotees keeping their health and himself keeping his health. We have to tolerate when ill health comes. We have to tolerate when sufferings come, as they will. Macha sparshas tukonteya sitoshna sukadukada agama payano nityas tam tatiksha sabharata. You have to tolerate hot and cold, happiness and distress. The happiness has to be tolerated as much as the distress. The difficulties, Prabhupada would often give the example, just like in the summertime in India or in Florida, when it's very hot and you don't want to cook, but still you tolerate and you cook because you have to cook, you have to eat. Or in the winter when it's cold and you don't want to take a cold bath, for those persons among us who may still bathe in cold water, you don't want to do that in the winter. But traditionally, you go and you bathe in the river. Even it's cold, you bathe in the river because you have to do that. You tolerate the cold. Or he said even about Janmashtami. We fast on Janmashtami. And we don't want to. We're used to eating. Our blood sugar is dropping, whatever. Our stomach's growling. But you tolerate. And when you tolerate, when you accept that, then that enables you to actually go on with your business. Your business with it, which is, in the case of Janmashtami, Krishna consciousness. So tolerating. And part of that tolerating is we have to tolerate things like ill health. But Prabhupada was also very concerned that the devotees watch their health, take care of their health. One letter to Rai Ram. This is quite early in the movement. He wrote, "Keep your health in good condition and work very hard for Krishna. That is our motto of life." So keep your health and work hard for Krishna. That is our motto of life. Another letter he wrote, "One of the symptoms of a devotee is that he is kind. So if our god brother becomes ill, it is our duty to help him get the proper medicine and treatment so that he can recover." And one final, just a remembrance of Her Grace Kusha Prabhu. She wrote, "I was only able to cook for 3 days because I ended up having a health issue. Srila Prabhupada had a sign in the kitchen that said, 'Health is number one, chanting is number two, service is number three, and then comes reading,' in that order." Now, of course, we do all of these things. Very rarely is our health so bad that we have to devote 100% of our energy to health. But in that priority, we maintain our health first. Because if you don't maintain your health, then doing all of those other things becomes very, very difficult or even impossible. So we preserve our health, we work for our health. And there's so many instances, even sometimes he would sign his letters, "I hope this meets you in good health." So how to maintain health? Luckily, the process of Krishna consciousness itself contains very good habits for maintaining health. Good diet. I don't know how good everyone's individual diet is, but the principle of the Krishna conscious diet is healthy. It's described how early in the movement, how Prabhupada would create these amazing, incredible feasts for the Sunday feast, cooking all by himself at first. But throughout, Satsarup Maharaj remembers how throughout the week the prasadam was simple. Simple prasad throughout the week. And then on Sunday, huge big blowout feast. So this is actually healthy. That you're eating khichdi, rice dal chapatis, or whatever your taste is, some basic simple food. And then occasionally you have this huge feast to keep our, keep us happy and keep us enlivened. And to relish Krishna prasad and relish the process of Krishna consciousness. But nice diet, simple diet. This is all there in Krishna consciousness. What to speak of avoiding meat, avoiding intoxicants, avoiding cigarette smoking. So many of these things which do have actual critical impact on your health, devotee automatically avoids all of that. Or getting a good night's sleep. One time on a morning walk, again, Satsarup Maharaj was telling Srila Prabhupada how he was trying to reduce his sleep. Maybe he even mentioned some hours. I want to sleep only X number of hours. And Prabhupada was concerned. He said, oh, are you getting enough sleep? So Satsarupa Maharaj said, well, the Goswamis, they only slept 3 hours a night. And Prabhupada said, you are not a Goswami. So getting enough sleep. Another story, a more personal story. Everyone here knows His Grace Purusharta Prabhu. He was my temple president, terrific temple president, back in my days in Boston. And I remember he told me once, he said, I just recently started sleeping 1 hour longer than I have been for years as a devotee. And he said, and it's not like that 1 hour, it's not like he was sleeping now 9, 10, 11 hours. It was bringing him up to a sane number of hours of sleep a night. And he had these chronic headaches. And when he got the extra hour of sleep, they immediately went away. And he told me that he felt like wide awake for the first time in years. So getting enough sleep, eating properly, and having good mental hygiene, mental health, just like Prabhupada said, a devotee is kind. He's kind, he helps the other devotees. So having good relationships, being compassionate, having good relationship with others. We all have probably heard the statistics about how married people live longer than unmarried people. And of course, the old joke used to be that they don't actually live longer, it only feels like longer. But it's actually a fact, married people live longer. But why is that? Because you have someone there, you don't become isolated, you have someone you could talk to and exchange with, you have someone to help you in your work, you have someone to share your mind with, if you have a doctor's appointment, you have someone to take you there. If you're in the hospital, you have someone to cook prasad for you. So this is for married people, but single people in Krishna consciousness should also have this same network, that they have friends who they, you know, close friends who they can exchange with and who they can help and who can help them in turn and watch over them and help them in case of difficulty. Then the benefits are for everyone, married or unmarried, if you have that. So in this way, a Krishna conscious life is naturally healthy and happy like that. Let's see. I thought I had this written down, Prabhupada's. No, I can't find it. Sorry, my notes are such a mess here. Yes. Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja homage to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta in that famous poem, Adore, Adore Ye All the Day. So one of the verses is, if that poem is, message of service thou hast brought, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought, unknown to all, it's full of grace. That's your gift, your divine grace. So Prabhupada expected this Krishna conscious life to also be materially a reduction of tapatraya, by having a peaceful, happy, healthy life, a healthful life as Chaitanya wrought, and unknown to all, it's full of grace. This is an odd, slightly odd, unconventional use of words, but we say like this, like something bracing, like you go out in the morning and you take a breath of fresh air, especially like after a rainstorm when all the dust is cleared out of the air, and you take a breath of that fresh air and it's bracing, it's invigorating. Or you bathe in the ocean and you feel refreshed and invigorated. So this is Krishna consciousness. And this in itself is a significant reduction in tapatraya, in the sufferings of material life. But there's another level, another stage of this tapatraya vinashanam, more than that. Because that can only go so far. Even if we live the most healthful life, disease will be there, old age will be there, different kinds of sufferings, adiatmic, adibodhic, adidaivic will be there. It's unavoidable. But through Krishna consciousness itself, as Prabhupada says in the purport, that the sufferings come, but the devotee transcends it because it does not affect or limit his Krishna consciousness. So this is the description of bhakti, of pure bhakti, given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In Nectar of Devotion, there's six qualities of bhakti. And the first two of them apply to specifically to sadhana bhakti. And the first of those qualities, actually, I can't remember their order. The first or second of them is shubhada. Shubhada means that devotional service, even to devotee on the stage of sadhana bhakti, brings all auspiciousness. And the other quality is kleshagni, that the devotional service, again, at the stage of sadhana bhakti, eliminates all suffering. So how does this work? Srila Rupa Goswami describes that there are three causes of suffering. The first is sin. If you commit sinful activities, you get a reaction of karma and you suffer. The second cause is material desire, because if you have material desire, then you'll be compelled, you'll be impelled or forced, seemingly against your will. Lust alone is making us seemingly against our will perform these different activities which result in sinful reactions which are suffering. And the third cause, which is even more basic, is avidya or ignorance. Because when you're ignorant, you don't know what's best for you. Prabhupada was once talking with a scholar, I can't remember the person, and they were talking about doing good, doing some good in this world. And Prabhupada said, if you don't know what is good, how can you do good? So if you're ignorant, if you're full of material desires, and if you're committing sinful activities, then suffering must be there. And that suffering comes in different forms, in different stages. There's prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. Prarabdha means what I'm suffering now. Because I was sinful in my last life, now I'm suffering in this life by my body, by whatever. And then there's aprarabdha, that because of what I'm doing now or what I've done in the past, but the result hasn't come yet. But the result is coming. That's aprarabdha, unmanifest, but the suffering is coming. Just like, if someone smokes cigarettes, we always hear these stories, oh, my grandfather smoked for 80 years and he lived to be 100, whatever. But the fact is that if you smoke, there's a likelihood that in the future, it may not be manifest now, but the suffering is going to manifest, emphysema, lung cancer, whatever. And this stretches also over lifetimes. And there's also a bija, the seed of these material sinful activities, and that's the material desire, which has been described. Because we have the material desire, we commit some specific sinful act, we get some specific karma, which may come in this life, which may come in the future. And even more basic is what's called kuta. Kuta is the underlying ignorance or sinful nature, the conditioned nature that gives rise to bija, the specific material desire, which gives rise to specific sufferings. So all of these are the cycle of causing sufferings. And when we commit a sinful act, then that itself reinforces the cycle that our material desire increases. The idea that people have is that if I have a desire and satisfy it, I'll become pacified. But the real life result is that if you have a material desire and you struggle to satisfy it, it simply increases the desire, because dukkhalayam ashashvatam, that satisfaction of that desire will never satisfy you. Or even if you think it satisfies you, it will not last. In this life, it won't last, and especially up to the point of death, it won't last. There's a Yiddish saying that no one sews pockets into burial shrouds. Or as we say in common words in English, we say you can't take it with you. So that happiness, so-called happiness, illusion of happiness, is temporary. So this is the suffering, and all of that is destroyed by the activities of devotional service. In progression, from bija, first the heart is purified, shrinvitam swakata krishna, punyakshavana kirtana, ridyan taksto yabhajani vidunoti saritsritam. When you engage in Krishna consciousness, especially by hearing and chanting about Krishna, Krishna in your heart purifies it. That's the removal of the bija, the material desire, and then gradually also the manifest and unmanifest desires will also be eradicated. That may take more time, as Prabhupada gave the example of the spinning fan, right? The fan is spinning, and even you pull the plug, Krishna purifies your heart. That's pulling the plug, but the fan may go on spinning for some time. Just like, again, the example of smoking cigarettes. If someone smokes cigarettes, and then they give it up, and they become a devotee, and they surrender to Krishna, genuinely surrender to Krishna, but still, they may get the reaction of lung cancer due to the smoking. That's possible. But all of them gradually, one after another, will be destroyed by the activities of devotional service. Why? Because devotional service is also shubhada. It gives all auspiciousness. And just as he subdivides kleshagni into different categories, he also subdivides shubhada into different categories. For something to be genuinely shubhada, giving all auspiciousness to everyone, these four aspects have to be there. First of all, it must benefit everyone. Second, it must attract everyone. Third, it must produce good qualities in the recipient. And fourth, it must provide a superior happiness. That's for something to actually be shubhada, just like it must benefit everyone. There's a funny incident in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's autobiography. He wrote this biography for his son. Who is his Babaji son, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son? Yes, Lalit Prasad, right. He wrote this for Lalit Prasad, who later published it after Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed away, called Swalikita Jivani, and it's his autobiography. And he describes how when he was a child in his village, every year they would have big Kali Puja. And we know the sacrifices and animal killing that Kali Puja entails. And he said, very tongue-in-cheek, he said, oh, this was a great festival, and everyone had a wonderful time, except for the buffalo and goats. So it must benefit all. It's not that Prabhupada would also talk about, oh, you want to benefit the citizens of your country, but the cows are also the citizens of your country. So Krishna consciousness benefits everyone without distinction, without limit. Every nationality, every religion, every race, every clan, every group of people are benefited by taking to Krishna consciousness, including lower forms of life are benefited. It must attract everyone. Krishna himself, his name means all attractive. And we see not every single person is at this moment attracted to Krishna, but people from all over the world are attracted to Krishna. Again, every race, every group, every nation, there are people who are attracted to Krishna. And God willing, and through the vigorous preaching of the devotee, more and more will understand and become attracted. It must produce good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvaya gunas tatra samasite sura. That the devotee develops all good qualities. But the non-devotee, even if he's expert in this, that, or the other thing, expert in his family or expert in science or math or art or this or that, but without Krishna consciousness, he has no good qualities because he's simply hovering on the mental platform. Just like the Mayavadis also on the mental platform, vimukta manina. That's not a good quality. Mukti is a good thing, but vimukta manina, devoid of Krishna consciousness, is not such a good thing, nor does it endure. And therefore, it must produce this superior happiness. What to speak of fruitive activities, which cannot produce this happiness? What to speak even of liberation, which cannot produce that happiness? Therefore, aruya kritrena padam padam tapada patantido najjati yusmarangraya. Because they neglect Krishna's lotus feet, they don't get that happiness. Therefore, they cannot remain in the stage of liberation. Only Krishna consciousness gives that Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam, that unlimited, ever-increasing happiness. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is the best auspicious act and the best eradicator of tapachoy, of the miseries of this material world. Because, again, one of the causes, as I said, was ignorance, avidya. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, your first moment in Krishna consciousness, you learn, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. That is such a huge blow to ignorance that it turns the whole material conception upside down, actually, from that one bit of knowledge. And when you understand that, then you understand, oh, these material sufferings are not directly affecting me. They actually have nothing to do with me. And even if you don't have full realization, that allows you to tolerate them in the name of progressing in your Krishna conscious activities. Again, in the purport, let's see. We cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere, but Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method to protect us from being affected by the miseries of material existence. So the miseries are there. We experience them. Even Srila Prabhupada experienced them in whatever manner he did, but it never limited his Krishna consciousness. There's that movie video of, what's it called? The Last Lesson, The Final Lesson, that movie about Prabhupada's disappearance. I actually can't watch it. I tried watching it once, and I just couldn't bear it after a little while. But there's that one scene where Prabhupada's lying in bed near the end, and he's lying down and he can't move, and some devotees are there. I think Jayadvaita Swami is holding the microphone to his lips, and he's dictating his book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And I don't remember exactly, but something like, everything is moving, acting by the will of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Right to the end, the suffering was there. He was suffering. He was limited. But it didn't affect his Krishna consciousness. He was so transcendental that even within this world, iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasa gira nikala shvapya vastasu jivan muktasu uchite. That liberated in this world. That means in this world, having a seemingly material body, Prabhupada also once said about the material body of the pure devotee, that in the spiritual body, in the spiritual world, your body is purely spiritual. In the material world, it may be material, but it acts like spiritual. Just like he gave the example, like a box that is made of gold or a box that is gold-plated. From how it looks and how it acts and how it's treated, they're the same, even though they're, in one sense, not exactly the same. So in this material world, even the chance for a devotee to transcend the material miseries is there, and so powerful and so important. Actually, there's a lot more that could be said about that, but I want to move along and finish up soon. And that's at the stage of sadhana bhakti. What to speak of at the stage of bhava bhakti, sadhana bhakti, the happiness of that is so great that it surpasses the happiness of liberation and the happiness of sense gratification. At the stage of bhava bhakti, that happiness is moksha luguta krit, that it mocks, it makes a mockery of the happiness of liberation. And then at the stage of prema bhakti, it's sanjananda visheshatma, that the happiness is so thick, so intense, so all-encompassing, just like I was saying, anandamaya byasat, being saturated with that bliss, that you can't even perceive that unhappiness of this material world or material desires. Again, just going to the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita in the discussion of the Sikshastika verse, that Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta saying that a devotee has no way of perceiving happiness except for whether Krishna is satisfied. So in this case, the tapachoya vinashanam happens because the devotee, he completely redefines everything. The only happiness is pleasing Krishna. And if he's pleasing Krishna, that's happiness. That's enough. And nothing else affects. And I think also going back, Bhaktivinoda Thakura also said that that unhappiness I experience in the course of devotional service to Krishna is my greatest happiness. So this is the happiness even in this world, which nullifies the tapatraya. And then, briefly finishing, then there's the next stage where actually you return, one returns back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, when the gold-plated box is now a solid gold box, and there's no even conception of material suffering. Just like sometimes we say about the demons, that the demons exist in this world, but in the spiritual world, there's rumors of demons. So the same thing in this world, the devotee may experience some suffering, but it's no botheration because he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But in the spiritual world, that material suffering is completely absent. Another quick story, a young brahmachari, now his name's escaping me. He's a sannyasi now. Anyway, his name's escaping me at the moment. He was flying in with some other devotees with Srila Prabhupada into London. And when they arrived in the airport, one of Prabhupada's bags was missing. The important one, the box, the suitcase that had his Bhagavatam translation books and tools had got lost, as happens with airlines. So this devotee had to stay back at the airport and wait for them to find Srila Prabhupada's bag. So he was there for several hours, and they finally found the bag, and he returned to the London temple. And there had been a huge feast, and the devotees were just like bloated, laying around, as they used to do in the old days after a big feast, just laying around. So he said, oh, is there any prasad? He said, no, we ate it all. There's nothing left. And then he said, oh, can you? I have these heavy bags of Srila Prabhupada. Can you help me carry up? He said, no, we're so bloated and from eating so much, we can't help you. So he lugged these heavy bags up like four flights of stairs and to Prabhupada's room. And he was fried. Oh, and he said, oh, and Prabhupada led a kirtan. And there was an ecstatic lecture and he had missed everything. And he was feeling just so, you know, you can imagine perhaps how he felt. So he lugged the heavy bags up the four flights of stairs, went into Prabhupada's room, and he was so bent over with the heavy bags, he didn't even see where he was going. And he actually almost bumped into Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's servant was there who told him, careful, you're going to bump into Srila Prabhupada. So he saw Srila Prabhupada. He put the bags down and offered his obeisances. And while he was offering obeisances, Prabhupada said something and then like patted him on the back while he was offering obeisances. He didn't hear what Prabhupada said. So then he offered obeisances, put the bags away and left. And the servant came out and said, did you hear what Srila Prabhupada said? He said, no, what did he say? He said, in this world, everything is very difficult and you have to work so hard. But when you go back to Godhead, everything will be very easy. So this is the hope. We're not in it for, as devotees, we're trained. We train ourselves when we educate ourselves not to be in it for the liberation. But at the same time, we understand that after this life, there's such a world of unlimited bliss, completely free of material suffering waiting for us. And there's a story. I'm hesitant to repeat it because it may be apocryphal. I never heard any support for it. But it's a quote that's been around in ISKCON a long time that a devotee said to Prabhupada, so Prabhupada, we shouldn't even want to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada said, no, you should want to go back to Godhead. So I never saw it in black and white that Prabhupada said that. But that idea is good, that we need some motivation. We need motivation to escape the suffering, and we also have motivation to attain the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Not selfishly, but a life of service to Krishna is the most happy life, the most happy eternal life. And one final thing I'd like to read, Brahma Samhita. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Juma Bhumis Chintamani Ganamai Toyamamritam Kata Ganam Natyam Gamanam Api Vamsi Priyasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Param Apitad Aswadyam Apicha. I worship the transcendental seat known as Swetadweep, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. So this is what we have to look forward to. And in the process to get there, we start where we are now. That, okay, I have material suffering due to my own karma. I have the material suffering, and we accept that. What's the verse that the devotee accepts suffering coming from Krishna? Tatenu kampam. Thank you. Tatenu kampam susumikshamanu bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. This tells us how we deal with these sufferings. We tolerate it. Why do we tolerate it? Because it's my own damn fault. It's my own karma. And if anything, Krishna is giving me a token. He's so kind that he's giving me these sufferings to teach me a lesson, and also not as bad as I deserve. And what do? I tolerate that suffering, and rid vag vapur bir vididan namaste. Rid vag vapu. With my heart, with my words, with my body, I go on repeatedly, eternally, offering obeisances to Krishna. And then when you do that, jivetiyo mukti pade sadayabhak, then the mukti, in our case, mukti means returning to Krishna, that becomes our rightful claim. Just by doing that. So this is the process, and it may take longer, it may take shorter, according to our karma, according to our practice, our sincerity, mercy received, but this is the process. So this is how we understand, or some of how we understand, Tapatraya Vinashanam, as Manu's kingdom was so nice that it wasn't even present. So in our devotional service atmosphere, when our ISKCON atmosphere is so nice, we won't even perceive the difficulties, and it'll just be blissful life of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much, everybody, for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions, comments, or discussion?
Thank you, Guru.
Hare Krishna.
Based on what you described this morning, would you care to share with us some thoughts you might have had on Charu Prabhu's departure?
Charu Prabhu's? I didn't know him. It's the most lamentable thing, especially dying in a car crash. It's not an auspicious way to go in and of itself. It usually entails violence. But again, for a devotee, it's different. But at the same time, it's heartbreaking. There was another incident. There was a devotee named Jai Gopal, if I remember correctly, who was a Prabhupada disciple, who passed away in a car accident. And the devotees were driving all night to get to some function, some sankirtan, some whatever it was, and they were driving all night, and they were in a car accident, and this devotee died. And Prabhupada said, you should not do this. He said, whatever gain you may make by driving like this in this fast way or this unsafe way was lost a million times over by the loss of a devotee. So we lament on the loss of a devotee, especially in such a way. And we also understand that as a great devotee, his future is auspicious nonetheless. And we also take a lesson that, drive carefully. Make sure you're getting enough rest. Make sure you're driving carefully, and all these things are there. So I didn't know him personally, but a devotee has a bright future even after death. So that duality is there, that the lamentation, and also, so many times quoted, he reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavas die. Not only Vaishnavas don't die, no one dies. They move on to another situation, and the future situation for a devotee is always auspicious. I don't know if that says anything. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Thank you, Prabhu. Didn't Srila Prabhupada say that the cause of illness is one, uncleanliness, mundane sound, and was there a third one? Oh, yes, overeating and anxiety. So four things. He didn't say that, though. Toxins in the environment. That's uncleanliness. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I take your point. So these are things, and in Krishna consciousness, these things should be reduced. Yeah. The overeating, the oversleeping, the over-sense gratification, the irregular, maybe irregular habits was one of the things also. But do you have a specific question about that? Or
no, I just wanted to know the rest of them.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'll look it up and get back to you.
Whatever. But
yeah, I've heard that also, but I can't remember. Yeah.
Another thing you said, of course, we heard we have to tolerate our happiness. So I'm thinking, you know, what does that mean? Like when you tolerate suffering, you're looking at the clock. You know, you're conscious of time so much. But happiness, what would be, then I thought, I took it to, it means to be detached. As
yes.
In the suffering, you detach a little bit. You know, okay, we can tolerate this, but to be detached. So when, if you imagine one person who's not Krishna conscious and another person who's Krishna conscious, they're experiencing the apparent same happiness. What does it look, what's the difference? You get it? But I'm asking.
Yeah,
how
I do.
How do you see
I don't know if
it behaves differently?
Yeah, I'm not sure externally what it'll look like,
difference,
but the devotee understands that happiness is not the goal of life, the goal of my life, and that, oh, I got this happiness, now I have to chase more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
Because understanding that chasing for happiness, which may come by karma or by Krishna's mercy, that happiness may come, but we don't think, now I've fulfilled the goal of my life.
Okay.
Rather, we understand the opposite, that searching for happiness is what itself, and by happiness in this world, we mean sense gratification, that itself is what causes the unhappiness. Prabhupada told the story, or gave the example, that in India, there's a process of exorcism, if someone's crazy or haunted or whatever you want to call it. And the process is chanting mantras and throwing mustard seeds on the body of the possessed person. So Prabhupada says, but what if the ghost that is haunting that person has entered into the mustard seeds? Then the process that you think is supposed to be helping that person is simply making it worse. And he said, this is sense gratification. We think sense gratification will make us happy, but it's actually the cause of our suffering. So when happiness comes, the devotee is grateful to Krishna, but he doesn't become lost in it. He doesn't become captivated by it. Does that make sense? Senior person first, no?
I was just going to say that sannyasi was Indradyumna Swami.
Indradyumna, yes, thank you very much. Before he was sannyasi, that was him. Thank you, I forgot that. Was right on the tip of my tongue.
I was thinking about what Mother Agatha is saying about what it looks like. I thought for a materialist, whether it may look like that, whether it's unhappy or whether there's a cause of happiness, they will go to the bar and get drunk because they're happy.
Yeah, in either case.
They get drunk. And for a devotee, externally, it may look like they're happy, they'll have a good kirtan, you know, after, you know, or if they're unhappy, they may get into chanting good japa, or, you know, either way, they, So externally, I was thinking it may look like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. That's nice that for the non-devotee, whatever happens, suffering or happiness, it drives them to become more degraded. And a devotee, whatever comes, happiness or unhappiness, drives them to serve Krishna more. That's very nice. Yes, Prabhu.
You have mentioned there is a verse backing your opinion. Tumara sevai dukkha hai jata seyo parama sukh. That while serving you, the suffering itself is a happiness, source of joy.
Hmm. So where is that from, by the way?
Analyzing on this, that actually the happiness the devotee feels, or even myself, I look at it philosophically. Our happiness in the beginning is philosophically, then practically.
Mm.
Goal is spontaneously, but it begins with philosophically.
Yeah, absolutely.
We accept that suffering actually source of joy because future is so bright, it's worth it. So we sacrifice, we dedicate.
Where's that shloka from, by the way?
Oh, this is a song. I can send you.
I thought it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah, that's nice. And like you say, in the beginning, it's theoretical. And that's because the basis of suffering is avidya. So we get a little knowledge. That takes us a long way. That actually gives us a lot. But then more and more, that theoretical knowledge becomes realization, and then not just realization, but personal lived experience that you're feeling bliss serving Krishna, even if the difficulties are there. Nice. Thank you. Okay, it's after 9 o'clock. Thank you very much, everybody, for your very kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.